Blog Talk Radio.
Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing race and authority in the body of Christ. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight, God. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy toward us, God. Father, I thank you for all of your grace that you've allowed us to experience today, God. Father, I thank you for your blessings, God, and I thank you for you causing us to be a blessing to many as we reach out to those in the world and draw them into the kingdom that you have ordained for them through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for giving them a desire to submit to the authority of your Son, Jesus Christ, as their master, so that they can be brought before you and stand before your throne knowing that they are worthy because your Son Jesus Christ's blood makes them worthy, God. Father, I thank you for you showing us something tonight that we've never seen before, showing us something that allows us to grow closer to you so that we can be more confident in the work that we do for you and not be misled by others who would twist and manipulate your word for their own gain. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere. Breaking our worship.
Out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cry myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me, just take this medication, and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. For breakthrough and healing. I worship this shifting.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, I'm going to be discussing race and authority in the body of Christ. And this is going to be, it's going to mean more to you by the end of the teaching than it might at this particular time. The question that you might be asking yourself right now is, what does race have to do with authority in the body of Christ? And what we're going to find out is that all of this starts with authority, the authority that we have been given that is an extension of the authority that has been given by God to his son Jesus Christ after he raised him from the dead. What I'm going to show you is all the way back in the Old Testament, in the time of Moses, the authority of Moses was brought into question over a racial issue. But the issue was less to do with the racial issue at hand and more to do with the authority of Moses being questioned. But what prompted Moses' authority to be questioned was the fact that he married an Ethiopian woman. He married what they referred to as a Cushite woman. And because she was black, Miriam, his sister, was offended and spoke to Aaron, his brother, and brought the wrath of God on him. But before we get to that, I want to open tonight in a passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 28. We're going to be reading from verses 16 to 20, where it basically speaks of the Great Commission, what we refer to as the Great Commission. And this is after Jesus Christ had fulfilled his mission. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. Now, what I want to point out here is, one, it was the 11 disciples that went to Galilee, not Judas. Judas is gone. He's out of the picture now. And what was fascinating is that when they saw Jesus Christ, they worshiped him. But even though they worshiped him, some doubted. And to me, it's fascinating, but I think that is human nature, that even though we're looking at exactly what Jesus Christ said was going to happen, they bow down, they worship him, but even with him in their presence, some of his 11 disciples still doubted. And what we're going to see in this teaching today is that it is basically fear and unbelief that allows race to have a place in the church. Because when we believe the word of God as it is put forth in the word, then we know that what God said is going to happen is going to happen. And we are blessed to have the privilege to be a part of making God's purposes come to fruition, right? It says here, "And Jesus spoke to them after they worshiped him," even those who doubted him, they worshiped him. "And he said, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" I wonder if they doubted him after he proclaimed that all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth, because the whole time he was telling them, "I'm going to create a kingdom, a heavenly kingdom." And what they were looking for was an earthly kingdom. They were looking for the restoration of Jerusalem to power over Rome. They were looking for no oppression from Rome. They were looking for someone to lead them out of what they saw as their bondage. But really, Jesus Christ was enlisting them to expand his kingdom on earth. And it's fascinating to me that in the presence of this, that he's asking them to go beyond their comfort zone, go beyond what they thought he was about the business of doing. They thought he was about the business of putting Jerusalem or Israel over Rome. And in fact, he was about the business of consolidating all the power in heaven and earth. Not just the power on earth, which is all they were really concerned about. And this might be one of the reasons they doubted. And it says, Jesus Christ said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he gives them a command. His first command is, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now that's fascinating. It's fascinating because, one, we know that Jesus Christ was sent to the children of Israel when he was here. That was his ministry. That was his purpose. That was his focus. And now he is telling his disciples, go therefore and make disciplined followers of him of all nations. And we know that what happens after this is that during Pentecost and Acts, the 120 who received the Holy Spirit, they were all Jewish men and women. And yet we know that after that, during the household of Cornelius receiving the Holy Spirit, that it was clear to Peter that the Holy Spirit was going to be shed abroad among the Jews and Gentiles alike. But at this time, they did not really know that. They did not understand that. And so them hearing this command, go therefore and make disciples, make disciplined followers of Christ of all nations, was a foreign thing to them. And when you look at this, you look at the presence of doubt. In the presence of worship, they worshiped him, but they still doubted him, right? How many of us do that? How many of us walk into church with the same mandate to make disciplined followers, make disciples of Jesus Christ of all nations? But when we go in our church, we don't see all nations. We see all white people or all black people or all Asian people or all Hispanic people, all Italian people or all Polish people, right? And it's the presence of doubt and worship that is mingled, that is present in the same place, that is limiting the ability of the Holy Spirit to flow the way that it needs to flow. It is very difficult for people to take us seriously in the world when we behave worse than they do. In the church, in the body of Christ, the heavenly kingdom of many nations doesn't quite look like that. As a matter of fact, the leaders of some of the most egregious supremacist organizations call themselves Christian. That's a problem, a serious problem. And then he says, go therefore, Jesus Christ says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations. That word disciples means disciplined followers. Make disciplined followers of Jesus Christ of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so he tells them, baptize everybody. Baptize all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. So he's telling them, everything I taught you, you teach them after you baptize them. And they're still not getting it because even though he's saying it, they're not hearing Gentiles. They're still hearing Jews who may be in other nations. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So Jesus Christ is telling him, I'm always going to be with you. You're not going to be doing this alone. I am giving you the mandate. And this is the Great Commission. It's what we are to be about the business of doing. And so now I'm going to go to an Old Testament narrative, which is going to show us the dynamic that we are experiencing today in the church that is hindering us from getting to the promised land. It's hindering us from seeing the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because the church does not yet look like the church. The body of Christ has not matured to that perfect man. It is not matured to that mature body of Christ that reflects a heavenly kingdom of many nations. So I want to look at the spirit that has invaded this church like a virus. We all know in the presence of COVID-19 what it means to be in a pandemic. A pandemic is something that affects the entire world's health. Racism in the body of Christ has affected the health, spiritual health, of the entire body of Christ. Because just as the 11 disciples went to Galilee without Judas, they worshiped Jesus Christ when they saw him, but they still doubted. Some still doubted. And it's those who are in the body of Christ today who still doubt that God is about the business of creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations. Those who doubt are still in need of this teaching today, this teaching tonight, on the impact of race and authority in the body of Christ. See, the first thing Jesus Christ told them to dispel their doubt was that he had been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And they needed to know that. They needed to know that he was coming clothed, fully clothed in power. And for us, the world needs to know that we're coming fully clothed in immense power. The power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Spirit in our life represents immense power. See, because we are heirs of God as our Heavenly Father, and we are joint heirs of Jesus Christ, our Master, who is our big brother. See, to be a joint heir, you have to be in relationship with. If God is our Father, then Jesus Christ is the firstborn of many brethren. He is the head of the body of Christ. And when we understand this, then we begin to understand that the authority that we walk in is the authority that Jesus Christ walks in. The power of the Holy Spirit within us allows us to fulfill the mandate that he gave us to go into all the earth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all the teachings that Jesus Christ commanded. Now, there are those who would dismiss all of those teachings and say that that was another administration, when we have to understand that the entire Bible is about Jesus Christ and the authority that we walk in is the same authority that Jesus Christ is walking in when he's speaking to these 11 disciples. I want to read a passage from Numbers chapter 12, and this is speaking about the incident between Moses and his brother and sister, Miriam and Aaron. Aaron was his high priest. And Miriam and Aaron are complaining to Moses because he married an Ethiopian woman. This is the beginning of their discourse. This is the beginning of the story. And the reason I'm going to this is because race has, well, one, the Bible has been used to justify American slavery forever. And so now we must use the Bible to dismantle all of the myths and misconceptions that men have placed in the Word, on the Word, in order to manipulate and misuse the Word to their own advantage. See, you can use the Word of God in order to please people. You can use the Word of God in order to serve money. You can use the Word of God in order to lean to your own understanding. You can use the Word of God in order to operate out of your own limited strengths, talents, and abilities, and it will look religious. It will look proper. It will look just, but it will be rotten to the core. Or you could use the Word of God to please God and not people, to serve God and not money, to trust God and not lean to your own understanding, and operate out of the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit, the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit, instead of operating out of your own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. When we look in this account in Numbers 12, verse 1 says, "And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman." So he marries this African woman. Some translations say Cushite woman, translating Cushite as dark-skinned, beautiful woman, right? And Miriam and Aaron are protesting this. They're against it. They're upset. But Miriam is the one who speaks out against this, and Aaron listens to her. Verse 2 says, "And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses?" This is what Miriam says to Aaron. "Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it, is what they said. What Miriam was saying is Moses has come down in marrying this Ethiopian woman from his place of privilege as the mouthpiece of God. And Miriam is saying to Aaron, "Can't we replace Moses? God spoke to us too." He doesn't deserve to be in this place because he married an Ethiopian woman. Now, you know, to your most entrenched Christian racist, prejudiced bigot, this issue of the intermarriage of someone who was of Semitic origin and someone who was of Negroid origin would be a serious problem. Moses marrying this Jewish guy, marrying this beautiful Cushite, Ethiopian, dark-skinned woman, was a serious problem for Miriam and Aaron. And it's a serious problem for many of your racist Christians today. And yet, even though this was the match that ignited the kindling of them questioning Moses' authority, what I'm trying to point out tonight is the connection between race and authority in the body of Christ. See, the first thing that Jesus Christ had to tell his 11 remaining disciples when he appeared to them, and some of them were worshiping but still in doubt, the first thing he had to reveal to them was that he was clothed in the full authority in heaven and earth that was given to him by his heavenly Father, God Almighty. He had to let them know things have changed. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And then he commanded them to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. Now, whether they heard what he told them or not, did not prevent Jesus Christ from giving them the command to make disciples of all nations. I'm sure that it did not sink in at that time that he was speaking of the Gentile nations as well as the Jews who happened to be in those other nations. Because when God showed Peter later on in Acts that it was for him to baptize the household of Cornelius after he heard them speak in tongues, he was not convinced so easily. That was a mystery for a long time. And yet, it really shouldn't have been for those who knew the scriptures, because God said to Abraham he was going to bless all nations of the earth through him, right? So looking at this, as Christians, the mandate to us is to go, therefore, into all the world making disciples, making disciplined followers of all nations, baptizing them, and teaching them to observe all the things that Jesus Christ commanded them to do. What did Jesus Christ command them to do? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love yourself. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Pray for your enemy. Do good to those who do evil to you, right? Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, right? And all of these things, all of these things that Jesus Christ taught them, teach to the others of all the other nations. And this is all Gentile nations. See, all of us, whether we're black or white or Hispanic or Asian, if we're not Jewish, we were Gentiles. Those were the only two groups. And that was the difference back then between being called of God and not being called of God. After Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by God, after 3 days and three nights in the tomb, given all power in heaven and earth under the earth, the Holy Spirit was sent to dwell within these disciples and others who joined them on the day of Pentecost, and to dwell in us when we make Jesus Christ our master, the Lord of our life. And so now I want to go further into this connection between race and authority here, because it gets very extreme here. Watch what happens. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses?" This is Miriam. "Hath he not also spoken by us?" And the Lord heard it. The Lord heard Miriam speaking about Moses in this manner. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were on the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, "Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. So God says, "I want to have an executive meeting right now with Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Come to the Tabernacle of the Congregation. We're going to have an executive meeting right now, and I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to handle it. This is God. And the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" So this is God checking Miriam and Aaron, checking them hard. He's saying, "How dare you speak against my servant Moses?" Now remember, this is all prompted by Moses marrying an Ethiopian woman, a black woman, a beautiful black woman, and Miriam being upset and speaking to Aaron and basically saying, "Hey, we can replace this guy. God spoke to us too." And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. See, God's real issue with them was, how dare you come against Moses' authority? He said, "Moses, I speak with directly. I don't speak with him as I speak with other prophets in dark speeches and dreams. I speak to Moses directly." And verse 10, "And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous." So she was afflicted with a skin condition that made her white as snow. And this says it was leprosy, and there are others that say she had white scales. Whatever the deal is, it's not a good thing right now Miriam is experiencing, because she put her mouth on Moses because he married this Ethiopian woman. "And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, If our father but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out of the camp for 7 days, and the people journeyed not until Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people moved from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran." Now, what I want to point out here is that there's a couple of things. One, because of Miriam putting her mouth on Moses to Aaron. Aaron was Moses' high priest and his brother. Miriam was upset because he married an Ethiopian woman, and so was Aaron. Aaron was entertaining what she was saying, which was basically this: we can start speaking for God. We can be the prophets. Let's replace Moses. And you'll see this in the next chapter. And it got really, really heated. And then God was provoked. He said, "Who do you think you are to put your mouth on my servant Moses that I speak with directly?" He said, "I don't speak with him like I speak with other prophets. I speak with him face to face." Now, here's another thing you want to understand is, if God had a problem with Moses marrying an Ethiopian woman, that would have been something for us to take note of. God didn't care in the slightest. His He was not concerned about that. What God was concerned about was Miriam putting her mouth on Moses. And Miriam had to pay. He struck her with leprosy. She was shamed and put outside of the camp for 7 days. But this is the other thing I want to point out is all the rest of the people in the camp had to wait until Miriam was whole again. And that is the condition of the church today as it pertains to race. The movement that we are to be making as one body of Christ is being delayed because of the presence of racist, prejudiced bigots who call themselves Christians who are in the house. And first, we need to start by putting them outside of the house and saying, if you're going to be a Christian, you can't entertain that spirit. You can't speak against the servants of God, the sons of God in this case. You have to renew your mind to the word of God and get to the business of making disciplined followers of Jesus Christ of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all the things that Jesus Christ commanded. And instead, the church has to wait, just like the children of Israel had to wait in the camp for 7 days until Miriam was restored from her racism. She opened her mouth, put her mouth against Moses, the servant of God, that he spoke to personally. And until she was healed, God's people couldn't move forward. And until those racist, prejudiced bigots in the body of Christ, no matter what race you are, you call yourself a Christian, but until you are healed and delivered from this plague of racism and prejudice and bigotry, we all have to stay pitched in the wilderness. We have to stay until you're made whole, until you renew your mind to the word of God and submit to the will of God and come into agreement with God that all nations are blessed through Abraham, through Jesus Christ, who was a Jewish man, a Jewish man that was sent to pay for your sin and my sin, and to pay for your wholeness and my wholeness. Look at what it says in Numbers chapter 13. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names: of the tribe of Reuben, Shemuel, the son of Zechor; of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori; of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh; of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph; of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun; of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu; of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Zadi; of the tribe of Joseph, namely the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi. Of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamai. Of the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael. of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Vassi, of the tribe of Gad, Gilel, the son of Naki. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, get you up this way southward and go into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell therein, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be flat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as the men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook of Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. They searched the land for 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and went into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwelt in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwelt by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are all able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And this is something I want to point out to you, is it is fear that causes you to reject the promises of God and to look at yourself as less than what God created you to be. See, they were looking at the size of the people. They were looking at how great the fortresses were of the land. And they said, we can't do it. But one, actually, it was two of the 10 scouts that went out. Caleb and Joshua brought back a good report. But this here says Caleb told the people, hey, we can do this. We're able to possess it. God is with us. And then the others said no. See, right now, there are going to be those who tell us that we cannot overcome racism in the body of Christ. And we have to know that this is not so. We have to know that this is not the will of God. And we have to know that God has told us he's creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations. Either we're going to help him do this or not. So now I want to see if we can get through this and see if we can say all that happened. Here in Numbers chapter 14, it says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." They wept because they got this bad report from the majority of the scouts that went out, that they came all this way from Egypt just to come to a land where they were going to be wiped out in trying to take the land. Look at verse 2. "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation, and said unto them, Would God that we have died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said to one another, Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt." So literally what they're saying is, let's get rid of Moses and make a captain and go back to Egypt. This is ridiculous. "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel," because they were about to stone them. "And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes." See, Joshua and Caleb were the only two of the 10 spies that had a good report. And they rent their clothes and they said, "You better not stone Moses and Aaron." "And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey." See, they're dealing in faith. They're not like those who worship Christ of his 11 disciples, but still doubted, right? They're those who believe, Joshua and Caleb. Look at what it says in verse 9. "Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land." See, it's rebellion against God and fear of the people that causes you to enter into sin and negate your blessing from God, to disqualify yourself from entering into the promises of God. It says, "For they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." "But all the congregation bade stone them with stones." So now they're going to stone Aaron and Moses. "And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel." So now God is stepping in himself. "And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of them a greater nation." "I would make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they." So basically what God is telling Moses is, I'll wipe all these people out right now and create a greater nation than all them through you. Verse 13 says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou art Lord among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by day time in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness." So Moses is telling God that if you kill these people now, then it's going to work against you and do the opposite of what you want done. So 17 says, "And now I beseech ye, let the power of the Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt until now, even unto now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. This is what we have to remember. All, it said, as truly as I live, God says, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. This is what we need to know. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him, he did not have a spirit of fear, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. We know that Joshua went also. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tamar, turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all they that were numbered among you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. They despise through their unbelief. But as far as you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness, after the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I'm going to stop here, but I want you to see how the promise of God is connected to our obedience to make disciples of all nations. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us the ability to see your heart and your authority that you've given us to overcome race issues in the body of Christ. I thank you for our listeners in Canada, the United States of America, in Mexico, Peru, Brazil, Ireland, England, France, New Zealand, Nigeria, South Africa, Indonesia, the Philippines, Japan, China, India, Australia, Bulgaria, Greece, and the United Republic of Tanzania. I thank you for all of these right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, with Tuesday Night Teachings, Be Ye Transformed.